On SEN, your home of sport. Time On with Jack Everett.
25 to 7 on Time On. From 7 o'clock tonight, it is United Live. Brendan Joyce will join me at the desk as United play to keep their season alive when they take on the Cairns Taipans, who they don't have to worry about keeping their season alive, the Taipans, because they are locked for the NBL 20 finals. They've been one of the stories of the summer, and their CEO, Mark Beecroft, has been good enough to come by the desk here on United Live and have a chat. Mark, thanks for being with us, and congratulations on, so far, what's been an amazing season.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a big difference in 12 months. We actually played in this game this time last year. Yep. It was the second last game of the season, and we beat Melbourne United, who were on their way to the playoffs. And we were on the way to the wooden spoon.
Yeah, I remember it well, actually. Hey, tell me what you're thinking. I know a lot's been made of last season. What were you thinking at 0-3 at the start this year? It was a very different looking roster. Were you starting to think, oh, no, here we go again? Or was the faith always there?
I think the faith has been there. Our build was happening towards the back end of last year. I think the good thing about Mike Kelly, you really find out after 14 straight losses, the character of people, and we knew Mike's positivity through that period would come through. Obviously, the recruiting strategy in the off-season, him having a better understanding of exactly what he wanted, and more time to prepare for that off-season. That 0-3 for us. If you look at those games, game one against Sydney, we only just lost.
Yeah.
It was about learning. From there, how to win. There was a game against Brisbane that we lost without DJ Newbill, who was waiting for an injection that didn't happen. We were close again in that game. And I think, you know, we didn't know just how well the connection of the group would happen following that. But we thought we had the right pieces, and it was going to take some time to come together. 0-3 with some close losses and without DJ in one of those games, I thought, We get everything together and everyone playing well, that things would certainly move.
And they have. That's a $64,000 question, is how do you get a team to connect? That, to be honest, Melbourne United have had their troubles all year with a new team and connecting. Has there been any secrets that you're willing to share with us about how Mike and you and the group have been able to connect as one this year?
Yeah, lots of secrets, and I'm not going to share any of them.
I was worried you'd say that. I thought I'll ask the question anyway. Yeah, I wasn't sure where it went.
Yeah.
Mike Kelly himself is well known to a lot of our listeners who would have grown up like I did, watching Mike play for the Magic and see him become one of the toughest defenders the league's ever seen. We've seen him evolve from a great assistant coach into now what I think is going to be a really long-term senior coach who gets the job done in this league. How have you seen his growth in two seasons?
Yeah, I think you've got it right. I think, as I said earlier, the character in that period last year, we knew that coming in, we were late to the table around when we made the change. So a lot of the good players in free agency had already gone.
Yep.
We 8 new players last year. In fact, 8 new players this year. Mm. So we know it takes time. But really, I think his mindset around having a clearer picture of the style that he wanted to play, and I think that came through last year. We didn't quite get the pieces right. We didn't get the pieces right around our import balance, and that was certainly a strategy for the off-season.
So the strategy was to play a more high-tempo game?
He really wanted long. We got that, and that was a key signing with Majuk. He was sort of first off outside of the three that we returned. And then obviously the big piece for us was Quatnoi. That gave us flexibility with the other pieces of our import mix. So those two players with length, with athleticism, were a key part of how we put it together.
Is there a bit of a duty when you're a team that isn't in a metropolitan capital, like you are, to play an attractive brand of basketball? Do you feel that pressure at all, or is that something that us who live in Melbourne and Sydney think that the smaller market teams actually have to do?
Well, I think our style under Aaron Fearn was very different. It was an exciting style of basketball, but he had good success. We had good, good recruitment, but it wasn't an exciting style. It was come down, move the ball, go through process, which is different from what Mike has wanted. And that took time. Obviously, that's a big learning from Mike year one to year two.
Competing against the bigger teams. Just what is that like on a day-to-day, week-to-week, round-by-round basis? I would imagine you have to be a bit nimble and a little bit smarter at times.
Well, we think we are. I don't know if we always pull it off. But certainly, both on and off the court, we've had to be strategic. We try to stay nimble. We've got a wonderful board. In terms of governance and what happens off the court, we've got a small admin team that are multi-hatted. So resource-wise off the court, we try and stay as dynamic as we can and try and keep up. It doesn't always work. But on the court, if you use this weekend as an example, there'll be five teams that are now focused on next season. We've been one of those teams for the last few years. We need to stay in front of that conversation while at the same time being completely locked into what's in front of us right now.
So with such a small admin team, I'd imagine there's a lot of extra planning that's got to go on for a final series now. What's this week been like for you?
Manic, yeah. And I'm down here.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. So my team back in Cairns.
Keep working.
You better still be at the office. They do an incredible job. And we're lucky in some respects with that team, but we also are our own ticketing agent. So the control of all that information and data has worked really well for us. They work hard.
I can see a little smile. I know you don't want to smile fully yet, but I can sense the excitement for what's to come when the finals start, because they're hard to make.
They've been hard for us to make, and we've had success over the years. This is my 11th year, and going back to the playoffs, it's exciting for a small regional team, 150 to 170,000 people spread across a very big footprint that is Cairns. And so to do that really in the size of a suburb of Melbourne is quite special, and the town is galvanised around the team, and that becomes exciting for the club, for everyone involved.
Scott Machado, talk to us about what you saw in Scott Machado and what Mike and the rest of your front office wanted. He came with a great resume. It's almost amazing to think that he hasn't been in this league before. What was it about him, though, that you really attracted you to him?
I'll probably go back a step, because when we went into Summer League, we had samples or examples of players that Mike really liked, and Cam Oliver was the prototype.
I can understand that, yeah.
Who he wanted in that 4-5 position, with flexibility to either go big or small and stretch the floor. And in terms of point guards, Mello was a wonderful player for us last year, and we would have loved to have been able to return him, but we knew that DJ Newbill was a key piece in coming back to us in what he'd showed us last year. And we felt that we needed, in order to get the best out of DJ, someone that was prepared to pass first.
Yep.
And so the example we were using in the point guard position was Scott Machado. And we had these two samples about prototype, wish list. It would be a Cam Oliver type. It would be a Scott Machado type. And then we had the opportunity to actually sit down with Cam Oliver and in Vegas with Mike Kelly, and that connection really happened, and it was strong, and we were fortunate enough to be able to bring him to us. And then we said, well, if we've got that as an example, why don't we
get the other example
see if we can get, and everything fell in place in order for us to be able to get that. And it was about having the mix of players and someone that was prepared to really have their teammates first, and that's what we've been able to see, and what I think has been exciting for everyone to watch with Scott.
The obvious question, can you keep him?
We're doing our best, as we always will.
Cam Oliver's an interesting one. I'd heard a little bit about him coming into the league, and you had Mello last year, as you say, as a younger import, and Mello's had his criticisms this year at Melbourne United. He's still 24 years old. Cam's still in that younger bracket of mid-20s. How challenging is that for imports to come over with all that expectation, in both of their cases, barely out of college?
Well, I think for Cam, it was the important piece for Cam was around his family. He is young, and he's got a wife and two young babies. And when he sat with Mike in Summer League, they had very similar backstories. Mike Kelly, when he came to Australia, young player, wife and babies. And I think that really galvanised the connection for them, and I think that's enabled us to really build some things around Cam and his family, that he's comfortable, his wife and kids are comfortable, it's an easy place to do it in Cairns. And so that part for him was important. And in point guards, it's been a little bit of with Scott, difference from where we've been. If you look at the point guards we've had over the years, we've had great point guards.
Yeah, you have.
Mallow included. But if you go back to the Scotty Wilbekin times, he was straight out of college. And that's sort of been where we've been at. And again, we wanted some more experience, more leadership, more, I guess, rounded. And again, that was why Scott at 28-29 was so appealing.
You've got two games to get through this weekend, and then the business starts, and they're two big games for you as well. To jump right ahead, what would it mean for, not just for you personally, but for the Cairns community if you were to win NBL 20? What would it mean?
Oh, it'd be incredible. Yeah, there's been a lot of people over a lot of years that have contributed and continue to contribute to this club. And I think that the town really is poised around the playoffs. When we go on sale, that game will sell out very quickly.
Yes, it will.
It's magnificent. It's an exciting time, and you see orange all through the city, through businesses, homes. So, you know, that becomes a special time for the team, and they've certainly earned it this year.
And it's on the back of some of the work that you and your crew have done as well to get this roster together and get the club all functioning as one. Mark, good luck tonight. And good luck for the finals. There's a small part of a lot of people that are rooting for Cairns in the finals. So good luck.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Mark Beecroft joining us on Time On here on SEN. We'll come back and wrap up some of the other stuff that you've missed from across the day.